Hi, this is Jeff Perry from St. Louis Family Church, and I am really glad this message has found you. You know, I believe that God gives us each day our daily bread, that He really cares about us, and He has attention to detail, the detail of your life and what really matters and what counts right now. You know, I believe that as you listen to this message, the Holy Spirit will illuminate something, some truth from the Word of God, something that causes you to draw closer to Jesus, and then in that, finding and discovering all the plan and purpose that He has for you. I want to encourage you as you listen to this message to let the Lord minister to you because He has something great for you today. God bless you as you hear His word. Everybody say, walk the walk. I want to go to two verses and I want to dive right into this. It's a message of continuance. The goal of our lives being hearing those five words, well done, good and faithful servant, in keeping with Paul the Apostle's concluding remarks at the end of his life and ministry when he said, I've run the race, I've kept the faith, I've finished my ministry, there's laid up for me a crown of life, and my desire is to see that come to pass for every one of us in here. I don't want to shrink back. God's soul has no delight in those who shrink back. So I'm speaking to the kids, I'm speaking to long-distance Christians, I'm speaking to new believers, maybe people who have never accepted the Lord, that there is a God who has a plan, that when you submit to Him, you could actually be invited to walk with Him. The Bible said that He will walk among us, and He will be our God, and we will be His people. Those who were once not a people are now the people of God. And as realistically as the disciples got to walk with Jesus, we get to walk with Jesus. But we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith, which actually has a greater blessing. So I'm going to talk to you a continuance of what I started on last week. I didn't get to share all the details of it because I had a little birthday extravaganza. But I want to just keep with this because, and here's why I want to keep with it. It's a good thing to be stirred up by way of reminder. Well, go to Exodus chapter 18 and put your hand in there. And then let's go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. Here's what it looks like. Okay? And if you didn't bring your Bible, then you can just look at it up on the screen or look on with somebody next to you. But I want to go into God's Word because I'm going to start out my message by showing you the reason why I'm sharing these things with you. 1 Thessalonians 4:1 is the one we'll start with. And then we'll go out back to Exodus and we'll look at what Paul the Apostle said, who was a leader of the church. And we'll look at what Moses said, who was a leader of the people of Israel out of the bondage of Egypt. 1 Thessalonians 4:1 says, finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us instruction as to how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you actually do walk, that you excel still more. Now look at this verse. He says, look, you have received instruction on how to walk and how to please the Lord. But then he says, you are actually walking it. But then he says, but excel still more. And so in this verse really makes, there's a statement here about Paul's passion. He's saying, you guys are doing great. In fact, the first chapter of 1 Thessalonians talks about how the word of the Lord has sounded forth in Macedonia and Achaia, beyond their own region of Thessalonica. They're impacting the region all round about them. Before there was, you know, the advent of radio or television, before there was, you know, there was transportation like we have, these guys still had such a contagious faith. And they were walking the walk that had impacted the Mediterranean world. So he was commending a church. Now, the Galatian message was a rebuke to people who had lapsed away from and veered off the path. These guys were walking the walk. But he was basically saying, keep walking the walk. And that's really what I have in my heart here, is to keep encouraging you in this direction. And, you know, it's no problem for me to stir you up by way of reminder. I remember in the seventh grade, a teacher said something so amazing. They said, you know, the real teaching tool I use is repetition. Repetition is how we learn things, how things become forged in our systems. So if you notice popular music, all the choruses are just repeated over and over again to instill the idea of the song. And this is what God is saying here through the Apostle Paul. He's saying, what you've already been taught, I want you to keep relearning it, and I want you to keep excelling in it. And I like the word excel. In the New American Standard, it says excel. Listen to what it says here. Let's look at these words. How you ought to walk and please God. This is our goal. This is our passion in life. He says, just as actually you do walk and excel still more. Then he gives some specific practicalities. And then he goes down to verse 10. He says, about the love of the brethren, you don't need for anyone to write you, because you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And then he says, indeed, you do practice it toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia, but we urge you, brethren, to excel still more and to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, attend to your own business, and work with your own hands. This verse 11 is underestimated. As we live in a world that is into hyperachievement and sensationalizes certain things and doesn't understand the value of leading a quiet life and of attending to your own business and of working with your own hands. I believe in verse 11 is the key to social impact. I believe this is a revolutionary verse. Just learning how to live a quiet life, making your ambition to please God, learning what is pleasing to the Lord, relearning what is pleasing to the Lord, then walking in it, keeping it real, tearing away masks, living fresh, translating your walk of faith into practicality, being a doer of the word and not just a hearer, is going to be contagious. In fact, this is what it said. He said to the Thessalonians in chapter 1, he said, your faith has been sounded forth, has been heard of and known about throughout the world. And dare we believe that our walk of faith have an impact even in our own region, our own state, our own bi-state area, our own country, and it spills over the borders into our nation and our world and even goes beyond. I believe that's what I'm believing God for. So that's why I'm preaching it. He's saying, get a hold of it, but excel still more. This is exciting for me. You don't coast. We don't stay mediocre. We press on up in every area. Now, go to Exodus chapter 18. That was Paul the Apostle. He's a leader of the church. This is Moses in an old covenant establishing something at a time when he's stressed out, he's overstretched, and his father-in-law Jethro comes in and gives him some advice. Moses has been counseling everybody. He's been doing all the weddings. He's been doing all the funerals. He's been, you know, in the office. He's been working, and God is having him make some adjustments. You know, he's getting all stressed out, and his father-in-law says to him in verse 17, the thing that you're doing is not good. You will surely wear out both yourself and the people who are with you, for the task is too heavy for you. You cannot do it alone. I'm going to say this to you. Last week, a number of people came from out of town, out of state, and they came to our church. And the real testimony of this church is the proper working of each individual part. The real testimony of this church is that the rank and file are taking hold of the call to walk the walk. And that these folks from California, for example, and I'm from that state, so I could say this, tends to be, generally speaking, a little bit more self-absorbed, I would say. And I don't mean that disrespectfully. I do enjoy the Sunshine State, and I have great friends there, and there's some great churches there. But what I was raised in was a little bit different than what's present in the Midwest. And I don't want to be too, you know, territorial or too, I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying as I say this. But they saw something characterized here of servanthood and of commitment. And I just wanted to pass that on to you. I think that the greatest in the kingdom is a servant. I think servanthood is underestimated. I think Jesus said he didn't even come to be served, but to serve. And there's something powerful about us walking in his steps, walking in the similar pattern. What Jesus has provided to us is a roadmap on the way God really wants us to think and act, plan and live. And in the Old Testament, these guys were coming out of Egyptian bondage and they needed new standards and values. Moses is misspending his energies and all other things. His father-in-law comes in and says, let's hone into it. He says, I'll give you counsel. God be with you. You be the people's representative before God and bring the disputes to God. In verse 20, then he goes down into his job description. The same thing as Paul. He says, then teach them the statutes and the laws and make known to them. Look at these two things. Number one, the way in which they are to walk. This is what Moses was now prioritizing his life toward, to teach the people, to show them how they are to walk and the work they are to do. Everybody say the walk and the work. Ephesians 2:10 says that we're created in Christ Jesus for good works. Each one of us is called by God. We're his workmanship, and he's called us to operate in fruitfulness and effectiveness. Generally speaking, we're to lead a quiet life, work with our own hands, and mind our own business, and live a productive and fruitful existence while we're in this life. Made much more so and enhanced much more so by the targets painted by the scriptures of the walk God's called us to walk. He said, just as you've received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in him. That we're to walk in a manner worthy of the gospel. Walk in a manner worthy of your calling. And it goes over and over again. And so we need to keep relearning these messages, because as long as we're in these bodies and we have flesh, we'll have to deal with and contend with tendencies and issues that are less pleasing to the Lord. And we're to figure out what is pleasing to the Lord. You guys with me on that? So you kids, you're in an environment where your parents have embraced the truth of the gospel, and you're getting it, and you're getting to receive it and absorb it, and they're raising standards for you, and they're walking it out for you so that you can be effective in your future and in the world that you live in. This iPod, podcasting, MTV culture definitely needs real deal Christianity. It's not rooted in the sensational. It's rooted in the daily obedience of men and women just learning what is pleasing to the Lord and walking the walk. If you and I walk the walk, it will ensure fruitfulness. Now, the Thessalonians were walking the walk, and he goes, you guys are doing great. Excel still more. So I don't even hardly have to teach you about the love walk, because you guys are really exemplifying it, but yet excel still more. Everybody, there's always room for improvement. I say this, the biggest room in my life is the room for improvement. One of the things I've learned as I've matured is that instead of looking at all the areas I'm failing at and feeling bad about it and trying to fix those, find where you're doing pretty good and where God's put his hand on you and do that better. You guys that are, some of you are nodding, you guys in business, you kind of have gone through that. You felt guilty, like some guys have other aptitudes or gals have these skills you don't have, and you sort of feel like eclipsed by it. But see, you got there because of something that God put in your life, and you're developing it. Develop it even more. See, even our church, I feel like God's done something and he's showing us some works to do. That right now we've got people in Sri Lanka and in Katrina. I mean, it's just part of what God's called us to do. Now, you may never go on a mission trip in this church and still be very much connected to all these things, because we've got diversity in a church like this. God's called us to a broad range of impact. Some people, their resolve is to volunteer time in this church, to make sure its systems function well, to bring improvement for the children's ministry, to help us in our in the very important details of parking and ushering and ministry of music and all the, I mean, there's so many areas. And then some, you say, man, I come in, I work 65 hours a week. I just need to get some fresh fuel in my tank. Some of you are engaged in evangelism out there where you go into your jobs and you bring in the gospel, and you're not able to volunteer, but still you're out there, you're getting fed. It all works together for good. I didn't say that all well, but see, the point I'm making is it's the proper working of each individual part. We have to do our part to find our place. We are not to intimidate one another in or out of. We're not to project what we think we should be doing, and then we tell everybody else how to do it. I have to watch out for that as a preacher and an influencer, that I hold out it like this instead of cramming it like that. I want to find out what is pleasing to the Lord generally and the specific purposes God has for us. I want to know the mind of God. Because what are we in this for? We're not in this for some circle game religious routine. We're trying to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. We get this one little shot. So we need to make the most of our time. In fact, let's go to the first verse I want to show you. Ephesians chapter 5. The work and the walk. The walk and the work. We walk the walk. We work the work. You see, Moses basically was saying to the Hebrews, walk this way. Paul is saying, walk this way. In fact, Paul even said, be followers of me as I am of Christ. This guy was so resolved to be an example that he basically said, look, man, I'm trying to set a pattern here. Let's go with this. And in fact, he is a pattern. Paul endured hardship. Paul pursued God. He had a passion for souls. He believed God for supernatural power flowing in his life. In fact, the Bible does say this. It says, these signs will follow those who believe. It also says, goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our lives. Well, you can't have something follow if you study the reason of it unless something is moving in front of it. So this exhortation is how we ought to walk and the work we are to do. He's saying, I want to urge you on walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. So see, this is what I think will impact our world more than anything else, is if we're really walking the walk. None of us feel like we're the very best we could be, because there's an accuser that accuses us before God day and night. Also, there's such a beat up, kind of a pathetic self-esteem problem in the humanity because of sin. But see, we have the mind of Christ. And actually, Jesus came to separate us from the consciousness of sin. That doesn't mean he cauterizes our conscience and we just don't think of it anymore. It just means we're not obsessed with our failure. We recognize, we get all caught up in how great God is and that his mercy is great and it triumphs over judgment. And that though we were sinners, yet he's washed us white as snow and so forth. And that is what propels us into victory, knowing that he's given us righteousness as a gift in order that we may walk in the royal commandment, which is to walk in love. Now, Ephesians 5, verse 15. Now, I'm going to read it in the New American, but then I want to read it in the King James because it has a word that I really like in there. Now, the New American says, therefore, be careful how you walk. Be careful how you walk. Not as unwise men, but as wise. Verse 16, making the most of or redeeming the time because the days are evil. So we'll just stop there. Verse 15 in the King James says, see then that you walk circumspectly. Everybody say circumspectly. Doesn't that sound like Sherlock Holmes? Circumspectly. Sounds like Watson and Sherlock Holmes. Circumspectly. But I like the word circumspectly because it's talking about circumference. It's talking about full spectrum. It's talking about living where your head is up. Circumspectly is when you get up on the vantage point. Anytime they had battles, the strategic place was to be up on a hilltop. And we've been raised up to actually have a heavenly perspective. And God wants us to have a panoramic viewpoint of life and see things the way they really are. That's one of the blessings God gives us as Christians, is we have the mind of Christ. We have access by the power of the Holy Spirit to know God's thoughts and to actually know what is pleasing to the Lord. Isn't that good? Before I was saved, I didn't know what was pleasing to the Lord. Now that I'm serving God, he's brought some revelation to me. And as I walk with him, I'm learning from him. I want to walk with God. And you know, and I'll just say this. I like the imagery in the Bible about walking with God. Because I like walking. Walking is the thing, the principal way we get around. I like it when it's called our walk in the Lord, or our walk with God, our walk of faith, walk in love, walk circumspectly, walk in wisdom. This agrees with me because I want this journey to be reflective of the presence of God. When Peter would walk in places, he walked with God so closely, he had such a saturation with God that people would even get around his atmosphere of his life in his shadow and they would be healed. That Enoch was a man that walked with God for 365 years and he was taken up because he was pleasing to the Lord. He was walking with God. Abraham walked with God as a man walks with a friend, and same with Moses. And I believe that's available to you and me. I think we can, just like the old hymn, have just a closer walk with thee, granted Jesus, if you please. I've done a survey on prayer requests. The second one is about praying for some loved one to come to Jesus. The first most A prevalent prayer request I've seen in 33 years as a Christian is, pray for me that I'll have a closer walk with God. How many of you say in your heart, you know, I really want to walk with God? That God put that in you and God put that in me. Apathy is not something God brings to us. He's called us to closeness to him. And I'm telling you, there's a reward for it. If we walk in wisdom, here in this verse, it talks about walking in wisdom. Let's go over to Colossians, in fact, and I'll show you another verse here. Colossians tells it in chapter 4, verse 5. This is talking about making the most of the time and not being foolish, understanding what the will of the Lord is. Colossians 4, 5 is in the context of Paul asking people to pray for him and that God will open up a door for the word so he may make it clear in the way he ought to speak. He says that I may make it clear. He wants to be clear. And then he says in verse 5 in the King James, it says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Redeeming the time, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you are to respond or answer to every man. This verse is powerful. I go to this verse often. Why? Because it's a call for us to walk in wisdom. Why are we walking in wisdom? So that we can be effective with people that are outside this connection with God. God wants us to walk in wisdom where we're contagious at work, contagious at the store, not obnoxious, not threatening, not overly religious, but effective in sharing the life-changing message of Jesus. We can actually walk, we're invited to walk in wisdom, and the good news is Jesus has become unto us wisdom. You kids, you are put at high advantage when you have Jesus in your heart. Because he is the master of the universe. And when he gets on the inside of you, he will help you to see things differently than you would if you were not a Christian. I was not raised really in church. I attended church every now and then. But when I became a Christian, I noticed my mind and my life changed. Not overnight. I didn't become like, a genius or something. No, but I got to tap into God's genius about certain things. And he is smart. And you can actually tap into his wisdom, and he'll help you with your marriage. He'll help you with your studies. He'll help you with practical decisions. He'll help you to know who you should hang out with, who you should avoid and not hang out with, because not everybody's a real friend. He'll help you to make wise decisions because he's interested in that and he wants to draw close to us in that. And in terms of reaching the lost, which is what I think is so vital, the Thessalonian church, that was principally what they were commended for, that the word was sounding forth mightily. This is to be a main component of this particular church. I'll tell you, as a pastor of this church, I know the reason why God required me to found a church in Chesterfield. It was to reach our lost generation and address a cynical culture with the life-changing message of Jesus. What better way to do it than if we were really living it? Now look, I haven't written any books. I'm not on a weekly TV program. I have a few little TVs, 10-second, 30-second spots. But the largest, most amazing aspect of what's happening here is that Jesus has birthed something. He said he would build his church. The gates of hell would not prevail against it. We've been at it nearly 20 years. And here's the deal. It's the proper working of each individual part. If you want to trace what's effective coming out of this place, it's not the pizzazz of one particular individual. It's the function of the body of Christ, learning how to walk the walk. This is what God has instructed us on, to build a deep foundation. We'll do other things. I'll write some stuff. I'll go and travel. But I haven't traveled lately. It's not all based on all of that. It's based on you and me doing our part. You know, last night I came up here and there were a number of teenagers up here crying out to God and praying, moving mountains and trusting the Lord. Saturday night, while we were here, Kingston noticed some guys out there with a Mustang doing donuts, ripping up our fresh blacktop. And we had to, you know, Kingston ran out there and ran them off. You know, Kingston's like, I thought, can you imagine these guys ran off a little 13-year-old with a hoodie? But Kingston took ownership. It's like, get off. You know, they're ripping up the parking lot. You know, and they really did, too. I forgive them in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. But we need to walk in wisdom. We need to always have an answer for the hope that's in us. We need to walk with our head up and be aware of the people around us. I've told you stories at the gas station, at the grocery store, at the airplane, and not just because I'm Pastor Jeff. I've been personally affected by personal evangelism, by somebody really walking it and having the courage and the ability to step out and have enough wisdom to know how to speak to a disenfranchised kind of disoriented teenager at the right time in his life. And I had an encounter with the living God as I saw a wide awake Christian. They fumbled over their words. They didn't say it the very best, but they were the real deal. Actions do speak louder than words, and God's called us to action. So here are a few things I want to get over to you before we finish today. Number one, we need to walk with God. Everybody say, walk with God. There's a guy that used to he'd go to Taylor and say, hey bro, how's your walk? And you know, Taylor made fun of it, but then it started convicting him, because that is the question. How's your walk? You know, how's your walk? I want to walk this thing. I want to walk with God. Don't you? I want to heed his what really matters most, and I want to live it. Especially as I age, I'm becoming aware that I want God's standards and values more than the world's. There's an advantage in maturing. You know, in some ways, I'm still immature. I got one card that says it's okay to be immature. One guy told me that we have arrested development and it helps us to be immature and have fun. And then that part is fun. You just have fun and laugh and be silly. That's all cool. I think you ought to live kind of crazy. A little bit. Is that okay? I think Paul DeYoung comes and he talks about being a little bit naughty. He doesn't mean being sinful. And when I say being a little bit crazy, I don't mean like where you're reckless. But we ought to be fresh. Come on, let's shake it off. Come on. Shake it off a little bit. Come on. I mean, we ought to be a place that's serious about the business of the kingdom, underscored with humongous amounts of laughter and joy. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. We're to walk in the joy of the Lord. Walking with God is not some sort of sterile, religious sort of rigidity. Now, well, but the Bible says be sober for the purpose of prayer. I know, and don't walk in silly talk or coarse jesting. I realize that. But also at the same time, we got to undo ourselves with unnecessary, silly burdens that the Pharisees carried. And we got to break loose and be what God's called us to be. Full on, technicolor, wide awake, walking with God, walking in love, walking in wisdom, walking circumspectly, getting some perspective about life, seeing things in a biblical orientation. That's what I pray for our kids. I want to do my level best in the upcoming years to just instill something in the kids that they'll understand the Creator and the resourcefulness of the Holy Spirit, the incredible power of the name of Jesus, the authority over evil forces, the overrated nature of the world and sin, how beautiful it is to be in His presence for just 5 seconds, and the joy that comes from knowing God. And I want to see that carried out. I want us tired folks that are growing and living and doing life, and just, even if it's routine, I want the routine to be fresh, joyous, makes sense routine. Come on. I like routine. I'm a kind of a creature of habit. I also like a little side stuff along the side, some wild stuff, but pretty much it's just grinding along. But I want to include all these things, and here's one that I want to show you. And which one did I say? Walk with God. Walk this way. Walk with God. Genesis 5:22, I told you about Enoch. He walked with God. Genesis 6:9, Noah was a just and perfect man in his generation, and Noah walked with God. Micah 6:8 says, what does the Lord require of you? 3 things, do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. Just walk with God. Just walk with Him. Walk with Him, not against Him. You know, Jonah walked with God for a while, then he went against Him. But then he finally got called back in. We've all made those veerings and those occasions. All we like sheep have gone astray. But our passion, and I know I could speak for you, God, I want to learn what is pleasing to you. Walk humbly with your God. See, when you know God, you'll be strong and you'll do exploits. I prophesy to you that there are exploits God has created you for. I just read it to you in Ephesians 2:10. You're created in Christ Jesus for good works. There are answers you have to other people's problems. There is prayer power in your life that somebody else will be incapacitated and won't know how to or be able to pray. You'll pray them through a trial. There are lost souls that need your testimony in order for things to click. That you are the one God wants to use to share Christ with people by action and by word, by precept and example, by living this thing out. And walking with God, you remember, the Bible said one time they saw some people and said, you know, they're unlearned men, but we could tell they have been with Jesus. When you and I walk with God, it will change the tonality of our lives. Kids in here that are in the 5th grade, having time with God, being under the enriching impact of true, genuine Christian parents, go out into whatever public school or wherever they go, they're carrying the light and the life-changing message of Jesus. And they're not overcome by evil, but they overcome evil with good. And they learn in practical terms how to build a bridge into their culture. And they're the revivalists of tomorrow. Come on. But God wants us to walk with Him in our business affairs. God wants us to walk with Him, not against Him. He wants us to get up just pressing into Him and worshiping Him, putting Him first, walking with God. You know, I walked across the street down by Chippewa, and cars were flying, and the road was real wide, and I had to run as fast as I could. And I was walking. But as I was walking across the street, when you get out in traffic, you better be walking with God. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, I had an instant prayer desire. When I stepped off the curb, Jesus, thank you, God, thank you, God. And I see these cars, it was almost like, are they accelerating? Do they see a bullseye on me? I was like, I heard their engine rev. It's like, wow, and I'm running, praying the whole way, praying in other tongues, praying in English, praying to God. I got across the street, got my heart rate up. All right, I got a cardio today, I'm good. Listen to what it says in 2 Corinthians 6:16. Don't turn there. It says, you are the temples of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. I like that King James. He will walk in them. What's God doing in you? He's walking in you. God is good. And I just love that about him. I've been thinking about this lately. But God is so smart and that he even bothers to listen to us. Last week in the third service, Senator Jim Talent was here and he prayed at the end of the meeting and he made the point that God condescended to get in our lives and come into us. And the supernatural, awesome creator, actually, he said, I will walk in them and dwell in them and I will be their God and they will be my people. Yeah. See, Moses said, I got to teach you guys how to walk and the work you're to do. And I see how the benefit of people walking with God and the contagious nature of walking with God and the effect that it has. Well, I can't wait to see what cranks out of this place. I mean, there are more things, there are more purposes. And so it's just the training ground, the opportunities God has up ahead for us. The proving ground is in the dailies of life. It's just walking the walk. Everybody say walk the walk. Okay, now I gotta at least share three things with you. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Walk by faith. You know what it says in Hebrews chapter 11? It says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. It says, the just shall live by faith. It says that, daughter, your faith has made you whole. In Mark chapter 2, he saw their faith when the friends tore the roof off the building and lowered their friend in there, the paralytic friend who was miraculously healed and forgiven of sin. We know about our father of faith, Abraham, that we're to walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham. He believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. We have faith toward God because he is faithful. We respond to him by confidence and saying, God, I believe you, and I trust you for your salvation through Jesus. I have a firm belief that I'm saved. And I also have a firm belief in all of his promises, that I could hold on to those promises and trust God and refuse to quit with the tenacity of faith that God puts in me by his promises of his word. Romans 10:17 says that faith comes, and it comes by hearing the word. I believe as I preach this to you about how to walk the walk, it's going to inspire you and ignite you to step up and walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the desires of the flesh, to walk in love, to bless those who curse you, to do the radicalness of the kingdom, the paradoxes of the kingdom. Like this church down here who gave us $5,000 when I know they're in want of finance for all the great building and expansion they're doing. But what do? They pass it on to us because of the law of the kingdom. You guys are working to sow this into your children because you're breaking from self-indulgence and you're saying, I'm going to give this to my kids and they're going to rise up and be powerful. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Isn't that a good verse? We walk by what the promises of God say rather than sensory reinforcement. Because boy, doesn't sensory reinforcement sometimes stink. Sometimes the circumstances prove loathsome. Sometimes it looks bad before it gets good. Sometimes we have to stare down the barrel of a hardship or a trial and we look at it in our own natural strength. We think, man, this looks like it's designed to take me out. And yet we turn to God's promises and say, wait a minute, with long life you satisfy me and show me your salvation. Wait a minute, great is the peace of my children for they're taught of the Lord. Wait a minute, my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory, the Christ Jesus. You know, wait a minute, all things for which you pray and ask, believing you receive them, you shall have them. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes, those things which he says shall come to pass. I see a hope-filled tomorrow because I see the plan of God getting brighter and brighter to the full day. I see that our path is paved by the Word of God. His Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The reason I'm interested in this book is because it's God-inspired. The other day I read an article and some guy said, the plague of culture right now is Bible literalism. They're so mad that people are taking God's Word seriously. And it's a plague. I felt sorry for the guy because God's Word is true. Call every man a liar, but God is true. His word is forever settled in heaven. Well, how dare you believe that his Bible can be taken, you know, and carried? It wasn't even written down for 100 years. Yeah, that's the fascinating part of it. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for reproof and for training, and the man of God may be fully equipped. So we see the walk of faith. And I don't have time to go on this, but see, We walk and live by faith. And faith is a power that will obtain all the promises that God has supplied. You kids, you young people, you can say, God, I trust you. I found a scripture that says you'll order my steps. So I trust you that I don't have to second guess my way through life. I could have confidence that you're ordering my steps. I believe you're going to speak to me and lead me by your Holy Spirit. You said you'd pour out your Spirit on all flesh. And so I believe there is a Holy Spirit. And you said you would walk among us and you'd be our God and we'd be your people. I believe there's a sense of belonging. I'm accepted in the beloved. I got that from the Bible. You even said there's a new creation in Christ. The old things pass away and all things become new. I accept that, Lord. I believe that when I pray, you hear and you answer those prayers and that mountains move. I believe that we are culture changers, not by protest, not by boycott, but by living it. The revolution of the Church of Jesus in this hour is not going to be by protest or by pointing out the darkness. It's going to be by high wattage, light bearing intensity, living this thing out. Everybody look up here. God's called us to walk the walk. That's what I want to do. That's how I want to do it. And walking by faith pleases God. I want to grow in faith. I'm ashamed of the times my faith got weak. I let it just kind of get weak. I'm thankful, though, when you get around people that are tanked up with God and they got a spirit of faith on them. And you just look them in the eye and they talk to you. And it's not like they're just rattling off verses and principles. They're just saturated with this kind of concept. They're seeking God and they're trusting God. Oh, wait a minute. God's going to see us through on this. Oh, yeah. Go ahead and say it. Yeah. God has an answer for that. I prayed about that. God's moving on that. God is faithful. Or they'll even articulate their problems in a framework where they'll say, it's going to be exciting to see how God turns this around. That's what Joshua and Caleb had. They acknowledged the problems, but they didn't stop there. They walked by faith and not by sight. And they concluded everything by saying, we shall by all means possess the land. I pray the young people in this church rise up as champions, provide the cure for diseases as research scientists, provide strategy for management and business, and provide hundreds and hundreds and thousands of jobs. I pray there be a fruit-bearing component that comes out of this church that generates billions of dollars of earnings and improves the welfare of multitudes of people. I pray that. I pray that racial stuff starts to melt as people cooperate with God in our church. I pray nations get completely turned around by the power of God. The nations are just a drop in the bucket. I have faith for the salvation of a multitude of souls out there. And I believe it all. So don't ever underestimate the power of you and me living this thing. I think that's the central miracle component of this church, is each one of us taking personal ownership on the responsibility to walk with God and respond with Him and walk by faith, build our faith in the Word, build our faith in His promises, and walk in love. Why? Because faith works through love. Let's go to this verse before we go. 1 John 1:6. Walk in love. Walking in love is not sissy. Walking in love is powerful. Walking in love takes toughness. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not nice. Hi, that's nice. Christianity is cursed with terminal niceness. We need to be kind.
Niceness is like, hi.
Kindness is hi. You know what I'm saying? Which one you want?
Hi.
Or hi. Which one you want? The last one? Yeah. That's what I want. You don't want hi. That's creepy, isn't it? You don't want any more of that shmarm. You don't want me to do that anymore. That's like if I stood at the door and gave you dead fish handshakes like I got from a preacher when I was a kid. Dead fish hand, thank you for coming. I'm not going to give you that here at Family Church. I'm going to get eye contact. I'm not going to hurt your hand. I'm not going to squeeze it too soft. I'm not going to go, hey, thanks for coming. That's all the world needs. Some preacher with a little dead fish handshake, thanks for coming. And we all go out there and go, hi. No, we need to if we genuinely care, we can create a revolution. Walking in love is not for sissies. Walking in love is retaliation on the highest power. Walking in love does something with your enemies. It overcomes evil with good. It figures out a way of as much as it depends on you being at peace with all men. I'm trying to crack the code. Because I've hurt some people. There's been some alienation along the way. Of course, in 33 years of Christianity, 25 years of leadership, I haven't made everybody happy. But I'm trying to figure out what my part is to try to figure out how to pursue peace in those situations. Yes. Because the Bible says in Hebrews to pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. It even says in Titus 3:2, see to it that you malign no man or speak evil of no man. Fortunately for me, I've had some good guidance from folks who showed that really it's unbiblical for us to murmur against anyone. And I heard a guy on the radio the other day say he'd like to punch Dan Brown in the mouth for the Da Vinci Code. Some Christian guy blabbing on the radio. I had to turn it off right away. This guy's offended that Dan Brown wrote some stuff about the Da Vinci Code. Well, I don't agree with the Da Vinci Code. It's a fiction book, and he's amalgamated pseudo-history and blah, blah, blah. And I'm not going to read this stuff. I mean, I'm believing in the Bible. You know, so it's like, and I like Leonardo da Vinci, so I don't want him dissing Leonardo or the Bible. So, well, at least he's honest. Well, yeah, but you got to watch that, man. You're not everything you think, you ought to blab. How many of you husbands know you ought to watch your mouth with your wife? Oh, my goodness. Have I learned that one a time or two the hard way? Not everything that comes in your head should be articulated out of your mouth. Oh, my goodness. Kids, if you don't get anything else out of this message, that was good marriage advice, especially you little brothers. Yeah, I have learned by experience. Walk in love. Walk in love. 1 John 1, verse 6 and 7. If you say that you are in fellowship with him and yet you walk in darkness, you lie against the truth. If we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, this is talking about walking in the light, walking in the truth. And also, God is love. So we walk the love walk. We walk in the light of God's love. We learn to forgive. We learn to give an extravagant amount of effort to walking the love walk, walking in love toward people, forgiving each other. How many of you know you get a lot of on-the-job training with this one? Walk in love. Walk in love. I'm glad I have a wife who will turn and remind me. Walk in love. Let's close with Ephesians 5:2. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. And look at the next four words. And walk in love. Just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us. Who in here has ever been hurt by somebody? Kind of went slow because it aches to even acknowledge. How many of you have had your life heavily impacted by somebody else's decisions and actions? Raise your hand real high for me. Help me for a minute. Put your hands down. I want to talk to you for 5 minutes. Some people, unfortunately, get used by the devil in other people's lives. Our job as people is to try our best never to yield to that. Although Peter slipped up and did that, Jesus said, get behind me, Satan, because you savor the things of man, not the things of God. There are occasions where we fail. We try our best, and we unwittingly step right into being used by the devil. Husbands and wives, who at different times, you can be used by the Lord, be a great blessing, and sometimes you can yield to the flesh and be actually even used by the devil against somebody. In the church, in life, there are going to be occasions where people are going to, through disobedience or through a quirk or a problem, going to cause trouble to somebody else. It can happen in family. It can happen in a lot of ways. And we have to contend with that while we're in this life. I'll tell you one thing. I don't think heaven's going to have all this weird drama. Can we talk here? I'm excited about heaven. I want people to go there. But in the meantime, I want to try to pull heaven characteristics in as much as possible. And I figure if I walk with God and I walk in the Spirit, and I set my affections on things above, I might just have some of that heaven on earth type of stuff present behind enemy lines and in what is called the evil day and troubled times. And one of the best ways to pull heaven into is the greatest aspect of heaven is God, and God is love. And love values. Love wants to support and help others. And the Bible even says we're to love our enemies. So when you guys raise your hand, those people became enemy to you in some form of the process of your life, through abuse or through hurt or through an unresolved issue. I've got several things where I've said things to people, an apology, they never acknowledged their part. They said, yeah, fine. Never said, yeah, and you know what, for my part, I'm sorry. And I got to live with that. But from my end, I tried to resolve it as much as I could. As much as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Some of you need to close the chapter on some of that stuff that keeps trying to re-pop open. It's like the latch is busted and it keeps popping open. And the best way to do it is when you walk in love, you pray. At first, it starts out with you hurt and you don't even want to talk about it. You don't want to pray. You want God to nuke them. You find all the scriptures in the Bible about God breaking the teeth of your enemies. And God busts their teeth right out down to the root. But then after a while, you get, wait a minute, that's Old Testament. I got to trust you, God. You are God. And God, you have forgiven me this humongous debt of sin. I could forgive them for taking a quarter off of my dresser. I don't mean to minimize it, but that's pretty much all that is. And ultimately, we don't want anybody cursed to hell. We want to pray, see, you get in this, you'll get yours. No, we need to pray God to God they won't, because we don't want to get ours. I love you guys. I pray the blessing of God on your day. Everybody say, walk the walk. Walk this way. Moses said, I want to show you how to walk and the work you're to do. We got a work to do, family church. How many of you, you're in this church, you're here, you're committed, it's a long haul, raise your hand real high. Let me say something to you. Not only are you in the church, we are under the headship of Jesus and we got a job to do. And I'm telling you, I'm pulling in to the Jiffy Lube and I'm getting fresh oil. I'm getting a new oil filter. I'm going even for the air filter that costs so much. I'm getting new wiper blades that cost like three times more than they should. I'm getting all my tires rotated. I'm even going to flush out my radiator, even though I don't know if you even need it or not. It costs another, you know, $60. Where you end up getting you pay the amount that I paid for my first car, you know, to get my car tuned up. But it's worth it. It's worth it. You get that new oil. There's some people in here, they're sort of neat freak, car freaks in here. You got a car. There's some of you that go, yeah, I've driven 350,000 miles on my car. You know, I mean, I got Patsy. When I married Patsy, we got a 77 Le Mans in the dowry. I also had the payments. And I thought, why waste money on oil? We'll just get gas. I wasn't very automotive. Did you know you need oil as well as gas? We need fuel and we need lubrication. This message is kind of a lubrication, kind of an oil, kind of bring it into your crankcase, bring some fret. You know, I had one time the guy opened up the oil thing and nothing came out. I'm sorry, that was bad. I don't want that to happen to us spiritually. I've repented of my ways. Some of you automotive people are going, Pastor, that's off. I know, it's bad stewardship, but God forgave me. Or there's black tar, you know. I want you to have the oil flowing. I want you guys to understand the value of walking by faith. Don't let anybody talk you out of it. Walking by faith is rich. It's just trusting God. He is faithful, and you just take hold of His promises and go to Him with Him and say, God, this is what I believe in you for my kid. If they're having trouble in school, pray that God will bring wisdom to them. If they're having trouble with people, pray God will give them favor. You know, your marriage gets a little cold, pray God will bring some fire in there. He is, after all, a consuming fire. If you're having trouble sleeping, pray, you know, the scriptures about how He gives His beloved sleep. You say, Pastor, you got me standing up. Aren't we dismissed? Not after this. Let's just pray right now, right after this. Father, thank you for moving mightily on everybody here. I pray that you would order our steps into wisdom and away from foolishness, into love and away from bitterness, into kindness and away from just niceness or meanness. God, I pray you help us to walk circumspectly where we see things and no blind spots. I pray we have perspective. I pray there be a heightened revelation in this place. I pray all the kids would be so strengthened in their souls. I pray they'll talk about Jesus everywhere they go. In the Old Testament, King Solomon said, God has set eternity in our hearts. And what does that mean? That means there's a void on the inside of us. The Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's where that void comes from, that empty part. Humanity tries to fill it with relationships, with fame, with career moves, with material things, with substance abuse, all kinds of different things, religions. But that's a Jesus-shaped puzzle piece that only He can fill. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one goes to the Father but through Him.
Jesus authentically came to this earth to destroy the work of the devil, to seek and save that which is lost. He was our great substitute. He said, look, I'll take your sin, everything that's separating you from a holy God, from my Father, and I will give you my right standing with God. I'll give you forgiveness. I'll give you righteousness as a gift. You can't earn it. It's by grace. So you say, what should I do? That's a great trade. I'm glad you asked. I want to lead you in a prayer to receive the free gift of righteousness. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, you know everything about me. Even though I don't know everything about you, I believe in you. And with all my heart, God, I believe Jesus Christ, your Son, is indeed the Lord, and that through faith in him, I could have eternal life. God, please forgive me for all of my sins. I trust you. I know, Jesus, when you said it is finished on the cross, that the price was paid, that if I would receive you and confess you as my Lord and believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead, I would be saved, and that's what I want. So God, right now, I receive your forgiveness. I want to be your child. No more running. No more looking for it in the wrong places. Jesus, come into my heart and be the Lord of my life. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, listen, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, I just want to encourage you that when you become a Christian, you become a new creation on the inside. And that's instantaneous. That's a brand new person. You've been born anew by the Spirit. But now there's something called follow through. And I want to encourage you on a couple of high points. There's a book called the Bible. Go to it and read it. Read the Psalms when you're discouraged. Read Proverbs when you need guidance. Read the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John accounts of Jesus' life so you can experience him and come to understand his ways. Read the what they call the epistles. 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, Romans and Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Read the whole New Testament. Read the Bible. It will enrich your life in a phenomenal way. His word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. There's also this item called prayer. Prayer is communication with God. It's engaging in interaction. It's not just a monologue. It's interacting with God from your heart to his heart. Now that you're saved, you can actually draw near to him and have access with him. And I want to encourage you to experience that constantly. Another place to be to bath to is a good fellowship. Find a good church. There are life-giving churches all over the place. Find one that lifts up Jesus, preaches the Bible, a place where it's healthy, where there's a vision for impacting the world, and go there and stay plugged in. Also, the great engaging thing to do is serve. The greatest in the kingdom is servant of all. Get involved with servanthood, and man, you'll just be refreshed as you volunteer and plug in and give the best you have for his purposes. Speaking of giving, learn to tithe and give offerings and give of your finances to the vision of that church you go to. God wants to bless you, and there's something powerful about being a giver. It breaks the stingy, greedy tendencies that we have, and it also honors God as we give of our finances, of our time, of our prayer, of our time to read the Word. I just want to encourage you, lastly, to also go tell somebody what's happened. That's called evangelism in the Bible. It's just really sharing good news, but just keep it real. And God bless you in your pursuit of Jesus and his perfect will for your life.